Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Anti-Pravda Show, The Savage Nation. I have never in my lifetime ever seen a press as servile to a regime as we currently see under the Obama regime. It is astounding to me how this thing with this Aiken story has now trumped, let us say, the stories that you should be concerned about, such as the great commander-in-chief Barry Obama permitting a Soviet submarine to cruise without any interruption in the Gulf of Mexico for days or weeks. How about the fact that the Middle East is burning because of the great commander-in-chief, not covered by CNN and the other outlets? Instead, Aiken. It is as though the dream has come true for them, and they can't let it go. So we're not going to talk about that inane story. We're going to talk about other things on the Savage Nation today, and one is going to come to you out of left field. I pride myself on having a bit of a historic perspective on things on the Savage Nation, and I've been thinking about the government going to war against the people. I was thinking about it because it's happened here, and many of you don't know this. Many of you think that if the army were ever turned on you, the citizen, it would be unprecedented. But you don't know, what you don't know is that the reason the federal government is arming itself to the teeth with hollow point bullets is because they are planning to use those bullets against the people. There's no question in my mind. That's absolutely what they're thinking. However, if they do, it would be a disaster, number one. Shouldn't happen, number two, but there would be a precedent. That's right. It happened in 1932. The story is the Bonus Army. And I'm telling you the story for a number of reasons. Many of you are armed and many of you think you're dangerous, but you have no idea how dangerous a military is with tanks and heavy weapons when they're unleashed upon citizens. Just look at Syria. It happened here. And when I get through with this story on the Savage Nation today, you will shudder to learn which general, or shall I say which heroic generals of the past, were in charge of shooting soldiers dead in the streets of the United States of America. So what am I talking about and why am I talking about it? I am talking about the Bonus Army. When 43,000 marchers, 17,000 World War I veterans, their families and groups, gathered in Washington, D.C. in 1932 to demand immediate payment of their service certificates. They were given bonuses for having served in World War I, but they were tricked. They could not be redeemed until 1945, and the veterans were starving. And they wanted those bonuses redeemed immediately. And so they camped out in front of the White House. Finally, on July 28th, the then U.S. attorney, let's say the predecessor of Eric Holder, ordered the veterans removed from all government property. Washington police met with resistance, shots were fired, and two veterans were wounded and later died. Veterans were also shot dead at other locations during the demonstration. Then President Herbert Hoover then ordered the army to clear the veterans' campsite, get it out of there. Who commanded the infantry and cavalry brigades with the support of six tanks? None other than Army Chief of Staff General Douglas MacArthur commanded the infantry and the cavalry with tanks to wade into the American veterans who were demanding that they be paid. The Bonus Army marchers with their wives and children were driven out and their shelters and belongings were burned to the ground. Then a second and smaller bonus march occurred in 1933 at the start of the Roosevelt administration, and that was defused in May with an offer of jobs for the Civilian Conservation Corps, and there were no shootings at that time. The fact of the matter is, this is a sad stain in American history, on American history, when soldier killed soldier. Soldier killed soldier. Did you know who one of the aides was to General MacArthur at the time? During the military operation, Major Dwight D. Eisenhower, later President of the United States, was serving as one of MacArthur's junior aides. But here's an important point of history. Unlike MacArthur, Eisenhower thought it was wrong for the Army's highest-ranking officer to lead an action against fellow American war veterans, and Eisenhower strongly advised MacArthur against taking any public role. He says this. Here is the history. Here is what Eisenhower said to MacArthur. He said, "I told that dumb SOB not to go down there," he said later. "I told him it was no place for the chief of staff." Nevertheless, they did it. And I'm giving you this history so that you understand what could happen when you defy the federal government. They have and they will use lethal force against you. Now, does this mean that we roll over to Obama and his communist brigades? Absolutely not. It means we expose them and we get absolute, we throw them out of office in plain English. As tepid as Romney is, as tepid as the Republicans are, they're the only choice we have right now. And I am telling you that everything is at stake right now in the Savage Nation. In this country right now, we have no press whatsoever. Were it not for the internet and talk radio, you'd be living in a Soviet-style autocracy. We have a one-party system when it comes to the media. I'll give you another example. A list of the wealthiest members of Congress was published today. If you read the fraudulent periodical, I believe it's, what was it called, Beowulf, the first report? Where did it come from? The name of the periodical? Here, The Hill. If you read the fraudulent Hill, and I don't know who publishes this garbage, they say that the wealthiest lawmakers were generally Republicans. Shame on The Hill. It's a garbage rag. It's nothing but a front, again, for the Soviet-style regime that we have in power, because I did my own analysis. And it turns out of the top 10, 8 of them are Democrats. But don't tell that to the Pravda writers at The Hill or anywhere else. We can talk about these topics on the Savage Nation, but I'm going to ask you one that you can relate to, and that is this. Aside from this Aiken story of the congressman who made those unfortunate remarks about abortion, tell me the 5 top stories that the vermin in the media are not covering by covering the Aiken story. Name them other than the Soviet submarine floating around in the Gulf of Mexico. Can you name 5 stories that the vermin like Little Wolfie Blitzer, the shame among shames, the biggest Soviet in the history of the media, Wolf Blitzer, they did not stop talking about this around the clock. Tell me the 5 stories that Little Wolfie Blitzer, the man amongst men, did not report and should report. Number 2, why is the FBI spying on the GOP? Why is the FBI spending very sparse resources? Apparently they're low on money, aren't they? Why are they sending men, their men, to Israel to spy on Republicans on a trip to Israel? Was that really a scandal? A few Republicans swam naked or with their clothes on in the Sea of Galilee? Is that your business? That's a story worthy of publishing? This is lower than yellow journalism at its peak under the worst journalist in American history. I wouldn't even call him that. Press genius named who? You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Hearst. Hearst, the man who started a war to sell newspapers. We have never lived with such yellow journalism since Hearst started a war to sell newspapers. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. We're going to go back to my first topic, the bonus march, because even intelligent friends of mine, and I do have a few, who are history buffs, knew nothing about the bonus march, didn't know the government had soldier killing soldier. And so to begin this, let's play Beowulf, pick the best soundbite so we can get a background for the listeners. Go ahead, please.
The bonus veterans have defied their leaders. The police cannot handle them since the riot this morning that ended in one death and dozens wounded. And so they're being forced out of their shacks by smoke bombs and tear gas hurled by the troops who have been called out by the President of the United States.
Now remember what this is. These are soldiers firing upon soldiers who served in World War I under the command of the president and the attorney general. And yet there was one Marine general who didn't join the military in attacking other military. Let's move to clip five, and you're going to hear former Marine General Smedley Butler, a bonus marcher. Listen to what he had to say.
I never saw such fine Americanism as is exhibited by you people. You have just as much right to have a lobby here as any steel corporation. Makes me so damn mad a whole lot of people speak of you as tramps. By God, they didn't speak of you as tramps in 1917 and 18. No. Take it from me. This is the greatest demonstration of Americanism we've ever had. Pure Americanism. Don't make any mistake about it. You've got the sympathy of the American people.
Now, this is very important for you, and the reason it's very important is because the vermin in the media, the left-wing rats in the media, are trying to compare the bonus marchers with the communists in the Occupy movement. There is absolutely no comparison between the communists in the Occupy movement, who have contributed nothing to America, and veterans who contributed almost everything to America, who were then denied their bonuses. And yet, the rats in the media are trying to have you believe that the Occupy rats, who are all communists, and they even admit it now, we found an article on this that one of the leaders of the so-called Occupy movement finally admitted that its real goal is the overthrow of the American system. So don't be deceived. When you hear about the bonus march and say that, and then you're told that the occupiers are the same, understand that the Soviet-style propaganda is at a peak in your lifetime. You are living through the greatest lies ever reported by the American press, and all for one end. It's to bring about the free market system, to bring the free market system to a conclusion and introduce a system that was tried and rejected by the Soviet Union and Communist China. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Soldiers who served in World War I had been paid $1 a day and a 25-cent stipend for every day spent overseas. As a bonus for their service, Congress in 1924 passed a law calling for every veteran of the Great War to receive an additional dollar for every day served. But the payment would not be made for another 20 years, prompting soldiers to dub it the tombstone bonus because it was more likely to be paid upon death than as a benefit to be enjoyed during the veteran's own life. Frustration festered during the 1920s, and with the Great Depression, frustration turned to anger.
And then the bonus army, as I said to you earlier, was ordered out of Washington, D.C., and they wouldn't leave, and there were shots fired. Two veterans were wounded and later died. Later, General Douglas MacArthur commanded the infantry and cavalry with horses and supported by six tanks. And the bonus army marchers, with their wives and children, were driven out and their shelters and belongings burned to the ground. The reason this is very important for you is that you understand that we have had soldier firing upon soldier here in the streets of America before. And if Obama is reelected, there is no question in my mind this will happen again. There is no question they are preparing for insurrection. The scared, corrupt bureaucrats of the Obama machine are making every preparation to go to war with various elements of the American public, as far as I can tell. This is, of course, one man's opinion. I am not privy to this information. I am not attending the Republican convention. I am not invited, nor would I attend. And actually, I was invited, but I won't attend. I do not participate in these types of things because I'm not a politician. I'm a commentator. I'm a simple American citizen who comments upon things as they occur. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We've got many callers. Here's another topic. Again, it's the same as before, really. Other than the Aiken story, which is a nun story because it's one stupid man's opinion, which has now been turned into the news cycle by the vermin in the media, what are the five real scandals that they're not covering with this Aiken story? That's what I want to know. I know what the number one on my mind is, the sorority house in the Department of Homeland Security. the discrimination against men in the Department of Homeland Security. That's a far bigger story than one man's statement about abortion. After all, that's his dumb opinion about abortion, but it actually hasn't affected anybody. While Janet Napolitano has trampled the rights of men in the Department of Homeland Security, she has turned it into nothing. Well, I think you have many different ideas as to what it's become under Janet Napolitano. Some have said a sorority house. Others have called it other things. That's a real story because men's lives were put on hold because of Janet Napolitano. Why was that not in the news cycle for more than 10 seconds? Why is the FBI spying on the Republican Party in Israel? Does anyone have an answer to that one? Oh, there are many stories that could be covered that are not being covered by the little men and the little women known as journalists. There's another story I want to bring your attention to now that I have your attention. Here in San Francisco, a gay rights, human rights bigwig was arrested almost 2 months ago now on child pornography charges. He has not yet been indicted. I and others in the news business who I respect have been trying to get the San Francisco DA to file charges against gay rights icon Larry Brinken. This 66-year-old Brinken was arrested June 22nd on suspicion of possessing child pornography based upon the Los Angeles Police Department, which gave the original tip leading to Brinken's arrest. But the fact of the matter is there's been no follow-up. My producer, members of the press who I rely upon to do the right thing have called the San Francisco Police Department over and over again with no response. In fact, my producer, Beowulf, emailed and phoned Stephanie Ong Stillman, spokesmouth for the San Francisco DA's office today, as well as her so-called assistant, Alex Bastian, about the Larry Brinken case. They have not returned the calls or emails. When he spoke with Stillman last month, she said they were still waiting for computer evidence before filing charges. Can you explain why this left-wing radical has not been indicted?
Savage.
I'm seeking to bring history to the present. I'm trying to alert America to the fact that governments in the past have fired upon civilians in this country and killed them, even soldier upon soldier, as I pointed out with the bonus marchers. This ties into why Obama is arming federal agencies with hollow point bullets. Far bigger story for the vermin in the media than the BS that came out of Aiken's mouth. Would you say bullets are a bigger story than BS? I would. And yet the little men, the Lilliputians in the media, are talking about the BS that came out of a congressman's mouth about abortion. They will do anything to cover up the despotism of this administration. Why is Obama arming federal agencies with hollow point bullets? They're not used for target practice. Certainly not. These are very disturbing news reports about various federal agencies stocking up on hollow point bullets to the tune of hundreds of thousands of rounds. Savage wondered why the Obama administration is so eager to help government employees stock up on such ammunition, as well as why the average American doesn't even know about these revelations. And here's what I said. Why does the Social Security Administration suddenly need 174,000 rounds of .357 hollow point pistol ammo? A message on the official blog for the Social Security Inspector General says, our special agents need to be armed and trained appropriately. To do what, I asked? So that if senior citizens riot when their benefits are cut, they can always gun them down like in South Africa? We're hearing that the National Weather Service also bought hollow point ammo. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration just purchased 46,000 rounds of such ammo. What sane citizenry on earth would not be alarmed when they read that a criminal organization like the Obama administration is arming every agency to the teeth with hollow point ammunition? Why would any government need hollow point bullets in any case? You don't need them for target practice. When you shoot at a piece of paper, you don't need a bullet that expands inside a body and tears up organs. Nobody in the federal government has an answer. You'll never get an answer from the Department of Homeland Security. That sorority house is not in business to help you. They're in business to keep you in line. That's what I said on this show the other day. And yet the vermin in the media, the little Soviet tramps, are talking about the BS that came out of the mouth of a congressman from the South, rather than the very real threats and scandals that are emanating from the Chicago White House. So I'll turn it over to the storytellers on the Savage Nation, called the average listener and listener, the average listener and caller. What exactly is on your mind? Name five stories other than the ones I mentioned that the little rats in the media should be covering other than what Aiken said about abortion. Let's begin with a caller who says he's ex-FBI and why the FBI may have spied on the Republicans in Israel. Mike in Pittsburgh, go ahead, please. Why did Holder sick the FBI on the Republicans?
Well, the reason I would say that is, well, it's easy to be seen why Holder would do it, but I'd also have to say it's because Mueller, the director of the FBI, is no better than a eunuch. He has no guts. He's not willing to stand up against the administration, and he will therefore do what the attorney general tells him to do, which is to spy on the congressmen who are swimming naked in the Sea of Galilee. That's why he's there for another 2 years, is because they know that they're able to control him. And instead of whenever his 10-year contract was up, trying to find someone else, they knew they had a good bird in the hand. So why look for two in the bush?
Well, you know, it's interesting you should bring up Mueller. The head of the FBI, Mueller, because I've often wondered why Barbara Boxer supported him so she gave him such support when he was first appointed, and that worried me. When he got a clean bill of health from Barbara Boxer, I knew we would be in for some rough years. And boy, have we been in for some rough years under Mueller, haven't we?
We have been under some very rough years with the agency. And I know so many of them that are still friends of mine that still work in the Bureau, and they are having a difficult time dealing with Mueller and working for Mueller. But the problem is, like everybody else in this country, they can't afford to lose their jobs. And there's
No, I understand that. I understand that, but I also understand that we have a sort of almost quasi-fascist regime taking over every federal police agency and putting in their own people in there to the detriment of liberty in this country.
And, you know, that is exactly what Mueller has done since he became director of the FBI. You see, that he has put in people in management positions who are, for my lack of a better term, yes men. And that's what he surrounded himself with. And I think that's why he fits right in with the Obama administration.
You know, Mike, this ties into a popular film that was recently produced that was garbage called J. Edgar, a smear piece done by Clint Eastwood about J. Edgar Hoover. It was one of the poorest movies I've ever seen done in recent years. Clint Eastwood is clearly senile if he thinks that anybody would believe that garbage. And did you see that movie, J. Edgar, as a former FBI agent yourself?
My wife talked me into watching whenever it was on TV the other night. And yes, I did watch it, and I was extremely uncomfortable for the whole movie because it did nothing but sell movie tickets. That's all that movie was meant to do. And yeah,
But the story about J. Edgar Hoover, the story, let's start with who played J. Edgar. Who was that actor?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, DiCapitato. Leon DiCapitato did one of the poorest jobs I've ever seen done. His accent was wooden and false. He was wooden in the role. He was not convincing as J. Edgar Hoover. And all they focused on was the man's apparent like for men and the man's apparent like for women's clothing, which I found to be quite ironic in that the left-wing media seems to tell us that men who like men are perfectly fine and men who like women's clothing are even finer. So why would they make such an issue about it when it was the fact is that as an FBI leader, he was the best we've had in the last century?
Because he's not around to defend himself. That's the only reason they did it. And I agree with you. He was the best that we had.
I wouldn't care if he served wearing a dress, high heels, and a wig. He was certainly a man who knew how to run the FBI. And I take him over the capons that we have in there now. Thanks for the call. We have a very dangerous situation. We're not at the tipping point. We've passed the tipping point. This man has purged every agency in this government and put in servile, sycophantic, dangerous, leftist bootlickers who are liable to do anything to America and to the American people. That's how I see it. That's how I see it. And that's why I'm bringing up the bonus march. Why am I bringing up the bonus army on a day like, where'd this come from? It's certainly not something you'd hear on a news channel today. But I have to distinguish myself in my own way, and I have to bring in some historic evidence to bring forth to you on the show that may put things in perspective. We have had other despotic administrations in America's past. We have one right now. This one is a particularly malevolent left-wing sort of criminal machine. I'm sorry to use such strong rhetoric, but you know, I passed a certain birthday on March 31st. I feel I have earned the right to tell you exactly what I see. In fact, not only have I earned the right, but I actually took on the obligation. The day I can't tell you what I see to be truths, I will not be on talk radio. There'll be no reason for it. I don't need the hatred of this despotic criminal regime any more than I already have incurred. Do you think I'm crazy? Do you think that I enjoy knowing that every word I speak invites these Soviet-era functionaries to increase their pressure upon Michael Savage? Are you aware of the fact that I am the only member of the American media banned from entering the United Kingdom? I mean, we keep hearing stories about Julian Assange, whatever his name is, with the WikiLeaks and what a great hero he is. I'll remind you that I did nothing wrong, and I've been banned from entering the United Kingdom, but no one in the media covered that. The folks, well, I don't want to go down that road because you're going to start to think I'm whiny. I'm not whiny. I won't talk about it. I'm trying to make a bigger point. The bigger point is it was somebody in the U.S. government during the Bush years who triggered the United Kingdom to ban me from entering Britain. It was an attempt to destroy me on radio here in the United States of America. I suspect I know who did it inside this government. I have not yet been able to prove it. But if you think that I and others like me, who are clearly independent thinkers and speakers, are not being listened to, not being spied upon by this government, well, I would disagree with you. I would seriously disagree with you. I can guarantee you that there are agents who are spying on Michael Savage instead of spying on the local radical mosque in your neighborhood. You heard me, and I'll say it again. They're spying on every patriot in this country rather than spying on those within this country who would fundamentally destroy the way of life that we have enjoyed in this nation since its founding. That's what's going on. Everything is at stake. Veterans are being targeted as terrorists. Those who believe that government is too big are being called terrorists. Those in the Tea Party are being called terrorists. So let me ask you something. Who are the real terrorists? So you get the picture. And that's why I'm in talk radio. It's why I get up every morning. It's the only reason I continue to be in talk radio. There's no other reason. The day I can no longer serve the people, and the day it becomes not unfashionable, it's already unfashionable to speak so boldly, the day it becomes untenable, and perhaps that's where I will go, or perhaps I will go live in Britain or in Ireland. Maybe I'll go live in Ireland. 1-800-449-8255. Chicago, Ben, why do you think the FBI was spying on Republicans in Israel?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind, Dr. Savage, was that they were, with this administration, they were probably doing intelligence gathering for Iran. Hello?
Wait a minute. Our FBI was going to send information to Iran?
Well, the way this administration is such anti-Israeli, I figured they were either doing opposition research, or who knows, maybe they were following the diplomats or the congressmen to see who they're meeting with in Israel, because you know, an attack on Iran could be coming up pretty soon.
Could it be the FBI agents were there to protect the Republicans?
It could be, but with this administration's track record, I'm kind of cynical about that.
Yeah, so am I. So am I, especially since the FBI reported on them swimming in the Sea of Galilee rather than on any potential threats against the Republicans in Israel. But the bigger point is that you have one scandal after another being occurring in this country, unreported, or let us say dismissed almost immediately, by the Soviet-era so-called newsreaders that we have in the media. And yet we have a statement from Mr. Aiken, an embarrassing statement, a foolish statement about rape and abortion, that is now going to be run for days and days and days simply to undermine the Republican convention next week. This is no longer a country where there is a free press. It hasn't been so for a long time. But it's become embarrassingly worse than it's ever been in my lifetime. It's a cancer. CNN is a cancer. MSNBC is a cancer. The major networks are a cancer. Yesterday, remember yesterday's show on the Savage Nation, those of you who listen loyally? Remember we reported on the director who threw himself off a bridge in L.A.? Do you know who reported at first that he had brain cancer and threw himself off the bridge? ABC News. Well, today they're retracting it. They're saying he didn't have brain cancer. But what did I, Michael Savage, say to you on this show? I said, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. Every instinct in me says, I don't believe that story. I don't know why a man with brain cancer would throw himself off a bridge to spare his family pain. But that was the storyline that the cancer of ABC News put out. And I said, we can't talk about it from that perspective. Let's just turn it around to what if you had a terminal illness, what would you do? And that's why I kept saying to you, it doesn't make sense to me that he would have thrown himself off a bridge to spare his family pain if he had had a terminal diagnosis. Because my instincts are always right, especially on the radio show. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Hill is out with its list of the 50 wealthiest lawmakers. Some notables on there, Congressman Michael McCaul is at the top of the list with a net worth of $290 million. Most of his money, though, comes from his father-in-law, the founder of Clear Channel Communications. Senator John Kerry moves back into the number two spot with a net worth of nearly...
Turn it off. The cancer of MSNBC continues to roll on. The Hill, the cancer of The Hill continues to publish lies saying that most of the 50 wealthiest are Republicans. I looked at the list. You had to actually decipher the garbage that they put out. And of the top 10, seven are Democrats. Top 10 richest in Congress. Number one, Michael McCaul, R. Texas, $290 million. Number two, Senator John Ketchup, Democrat, $198 million. So number three, Darrell Issa, R. Cal, $140 million. Rep. Jared Polis, Democrat, Colorado, $91 million. Mark Warner, Democrat, Virginia, $85 million. Jay Rockefeller, D. West Virginia, $83 million. Richard Blumenthal, D. Connecticut, $80 million. Senator Frank Lautenberg, D. New Jersey, $56 million. Dianne Feinstein, D. California, $47 million. Jim Renacci, R. Ohio, $37 million. So you can see of the top 10, seven are Democrats, not Republicans. What is deceptive about this is that we are not seeing Dianne Feinstein's actual wealth. In order to do that, you would have to know what her husband made while she has been senator. That would be almost impossible to decipher since he's a private citizen. But we do know that contracts have been steered to Richard Blum for years now, going back to the Iraq War when he was a contractor who received, so far as I know, at least one contract worth $500 million in order to supply medical equipment to our troops in Iraq. There's much more to that story. There is also the curious case of Nancy Pelosi, whose wealth has increased astronomically while she's been in office. Somehow we don't see that data because you're simply seeing the wealth listed by the congressperson. You're not seeing the wealth accumulated by family members while they have been in power. You see. But nevertheless, it's 7 out of 10 top are Dems, not Republicans. So the cancer of MSNBC goes on. The cancer of The Hill rolls on. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. We're talking about the stories that are far bigger than the BS that came out of the mouth of a congressman who had some ridiculous words about abortion. What are the biggest stories that they're not covering that I'd like to know are on your mind? Let us hear what is on your mind. What are they not covering that they should be covering? I don't know we have any callers on that. Who's the one who says it's good to use the hollow? Is he gone? Modesto, Mike, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, regarding the DHS purchase of the ammunition, it's interesting to compare that our armed forces in Iraq and Afghanistan have expended about 70 million rounds during the war, yet in 1 year, DHS orders up 450 million rounds. their initial, these news stories are talking about the NOAA purchases and the Department of Fish and Game and all them. Those are kind of added on and commented on by the government to kind of make it look like it's a small deal, but it really isn't. 450 million rounds, that's the beginning. By the end of the year, it's going to be closer to 700 million.
So and wait. So the government is buying far more hollow point ammo than was used by our military in Iraq, and there's only one purpose that hollow point ammunition is designed for, and that's to tear organs inside a body. Is that correct?
That's right. And the specific type of ammunition they're purchasing has the ability to penetrate things like light metal like you'd find on a car door or windshield.
So why would Wolf Blitzer and the other cancers in television not be covering this instead of the words of a congressman from the South on abortion? The answer is because it would make Obama look like the despot he is.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for them politically. In defense of one argument that the other side is making, it does have some application to be using the actual ammunition you would use on the job for target practice, because the weapons cycle, you should know this, they cycle specifically depending on the type of ammunition that's going through them, the recoil, the accuracy.
So in other words, they need real-life practice with a hollow point bullet to see what the gun would feel like. Well, they should go to the next step and get some people from the Republican. That would give them real-life practice, wouldn't it?
I'm sure they would love to. But when I
instead of using paper targets, they could just line up anybody who makes more than $100,000 a year, and then they could cull the herd that way and make the nation safe for Obama. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Rich Democrats versus rich Republicans. If you look at the list, you'll notice most of the rich Democrats didn't earn any of the money themselves. They got it either through their wives or through other means.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. One of my favorite television shows is military history. I don't really watch the History Channel anymore. I'm obsessed with military history because the history on it is better than the History Channel. In that, war often teaches us some horrible lessons. And I was watching one the other night on the prelude to World War II, especially the rise of Mussolini. And I noted that when Benito Mussolini, the dictator of Italy, came to power, he was a former journalist, incidentally, a World War One aviator and a journalist. And he was a fascist who said that the democracy of Italy was too weak to conduct the business of the state. And he put together a right-wing party, the fascist party, and he became the leader of Italy. Amongst the first things that Mussolini did were public works projects on the order of Barack Obama. Huge public works projects, bridges to nowhere, roads to nowhere, filling in swamps to nowhere. But they were immensely popular because they put people back to work. This model of massive public works projects was so popular that it was then adopted by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who created similar programs in America, and also by Adolf Hitler, who copied Mussolini with his projects in Germany, again, to the popularity of the public, who liked the public works projects. The difference between Mussolini and Obama, the differences are many, because while Mussolini was building roads to nowhere, bridges to nowhere, subways to nowhere, He was also building the Italian Navy. In fact, the Italian Navy at the outset of World War II was larger than that of Germany and of England put together, believe it or not. I didn't know that. The Italians had some big navy. But he was into the massive buildup of the Italian military, the Air Force as well. Obama, on the contrary, is while he's building roads to nowhere, is destroying the military, decimating the military, destroying the military at every turn. It's unbelievable to me how inverted this man is in almost every regard. But you see, there's one thing you don't know about Barack Obama that you should know, which is that he is true to his cause. He is true to his calling. He is following the script that was clearly laid out for him from the outset of his political career. He is not untrue to his call and his calling. Now, you may say that sounds odd. No, his calling is to weaken America in any way he can and to strengthen the enemies of America in any way he can. How else do you explain, they're calling the rise of the Islamist regimes across the Arab landscape as an Arab Spring to this day, when everyone knows that the despotisms that are arising are far worse than those that left? How do you explain that the Islamists who have introduced Sharia law in Egypt, or about to introduce it in its totality, who are far worse to the average Egyptian, especially to the Coptic Christians, far worse than Mubarak, why is it that Obama is cheering the Islamists everywhere across the Arab landscape? It leads you to ask yourself which side he's on and whether he's not playing for the opposing team. It leads serious men to stay up late at night asking themselves, have we in fact been invaded and have the enemies taken over this country? Knowingly or unknowingly, there's no answer to that question. It's very hard to explain certain things, including why the government is buying hundreds of millions of rounds of hollow point ammunition, why the FBI was sicked upon Republican lawmakers on a trip to Israel. You see, there are many questions that trouble men in the middle of the night, free-thinking men like myself. And on that note, we lead to the callers of the Savage Nation today. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Let's begin this hour with a caller from New York City on WOR. We've not yet had anyone from New York. Ann, you're the first up on this hour. Go ahead, please.
Hello, thank you very much. I believe it is quintessential for him to destroy the military in order for him to get his plan going. You've hit upon something that I've carried in my belly for a long time, and it's most difficult for me to express to anyone, so I don't know who to turn to. I'm not really sure what catalyst he would use to put us under civilian military force, which is by his very own words. It could be anything. It could be anything.
Wait, are you talking about that very famous clip where in a most demonic manner he says we must have... Well, let's play the clip, the one that scares most Americans. Wait, hold it. Hold it. Stop. I want to play for you something that Obama said during his campaign that's been buried by the cancer of the media. Listen.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well funded.
This soundbite alone could destroy his campaign. If the Romney campaign was seriously interested in winning the presidency, and I'm not sure they are, notice I said the Romney campaign. If they were seriously interested in winning the campaign, they would be playing this soundbite with Obama giving the speech and ask one question on the bottom. Who does Mr. Obama mean when he says a civilian national security force? This could be the Daisy ad of the campaign that sank Goldwater. This could be the Daisy ad of our time. But I happen to know that that Romney's chief advisor voted for Obama in 2008. I'm not sure they really want to win. I think Romney wants to win, but I don't know that Romney even knows that he has within his own camp many Brutuses. There's nothing I can do other than tell you, the people, I'm very, very pessimistic about Romney Ryan winning. Very pessimistic indeed. Especially when you see that the cancer of the media will do anything to bury the scandals and the dangers of this administration, even with the BS of a congressman from the South who said terribly stupid things about abortion. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Can you name five other topics? Well, one other topic that the cancer of the media should be talking about instead of what Aiken said about abortion. Name one topic that I haven't touched on yet that the cancer of the media will not touch or won't touch. Notice I've changed my rhetoric from vermin to cancer. The reason is that I think you can pretty much figure out that I'm so disgusted with Wolf Blitzer. I'm so disgusted with the rats in the media that I'll go to any length to expose them for what they are. I'm so sick of these people holding their heads up proudly like they're doing something of any value for the society. So what do you want to talk about? How about the Russian submarine in the Gulf of Mexico that the cancer of the media refuses to talk about? Boston, Massachusetts. Alan, welcome to the program.
Hello, Michael. How are you doing? I'm concerned about the Russian sub and the recent violations of U.S. airspace in Alaska and California by the Russians, especially in light of the comment back in March by our president that he was going to be more lenient after the election. I don't know what that really means. And in light of these violations...
You mean when Obama met with Medvedev and he said, when I'm reelected, I'll have more latitude with regard to a missile defense shield. Remember he said, not if I'm reelected, but when I'm reelected? Remember that? That should chill any man's heart, because it seemed to me the fix was in right then and there. But why is it that the cancer of the media is not reporting on the Russian sub's maneuvers in the Gulf of Mexico, undetected, by the way, by the new Navy?
Were they asked to stand down, maybe?
Asked? Apparently Obama's telling them the questions they're allowed to ask him. When the king comes out for his rare press conference these days, he submits a series of questions in advance to the little men and women, the little Pravdaettes, we shall call them. The little Pravdaettes in the media who are permitted to talk to the king are given the talking points that he wants to talk about. There's your free press. There is no journalism left in America. So let's go to the callers. Boise, Idaho. Tom has a topic that should be talked about by the cancer in the media that isn't being talked about. Tom, what's the topic you'd like to see covered?
MF Global, they absconded with $1 billion of investors' money, and the Justice Department in the last 2 to 3 days found that there was no wrongdoing, and there's a lot of private investors that are infuriated. And
well, that's right. Why do you think Obama and Eric Holder are not pursuing charges against Mr. Corzine? Answer, because he's a high-ranking Democrat. And where'd the money go? Where did the money go? You know, I keep telling people money doesn't disappear. When $1.7 billion is lost, someone made it. Where'd the money go?
Legally, they illegally traded with it. One of the lawyers of the plaintiffs that are suing MF Global said they used it for illegal trading, and other companies, other CEOs have gone to prison for this.
Well, and that's right, but the other CEOs were Republicans. We don't live in a free society. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You're listening to the greatest audio program in the history of radio, The Savage Nation. Never before has there been a show like this. Well, let's put it to you this way. The Dems have certain plans for America. And you don't have to shoot people to destroy them. You can start by destroying their reputation, which was begun in my case under the last administration of Bush. Possibly in cahoots with Hillary Clinton when they banned me in Britain. They thought it would destroy me, but it hasn't. I've had 3 best-selling books in a row, despite them having tried to smear me off the political landscape. But they can also eliminate talk radio, as they're doing, through means that I can't even describe to you. Nothing to do with the fairness doctrine. That's child's play compared to the market pressures that an overbearing government can bring upon a network, rather a owner of stations. See, when a group owns 100, 500, 600, 1,000 stations, they're very vulnerable to government interference. The FCC, after all, supervises these signals. And so if you want to pressure the owner of 500 stations, what you do is you say to them, you know, you have 100 licenses that are going to come up over the next 2 years. We don't like that guy Savage very much. Why don't you put on a Mexican station where he talks? Or put on Spanish sports that nobody listens to. And we won't give you any trouble. This is how the ball game is played. It has nothing to do with the fairness doctrine. It's called the pressures of a ruthless regime. Same way that Chavez does it. Chavez does it a little more vociferously than that, but it's the same as in Chavez's a case. But I'm not finished yet. I'm just starting, incidentally. I have a few moves left that no one's seen yet, and no one's going to see them till they're done. So with any luck, I'll be on the radio for a good long time, even talking to you from the underground, if necessary, after the deluge. Because après le deluge, c'est moi. Is that how it goes? After the deluge, me? No, I don't know if I did it right. I forgot my French. Après le deluge, after the deluge, after the flood, there's me. Yeah, après le deluge, c'est moi, something like that. The French have a nice turn of phrase. They have nothing left but turns of phrases and high-heeled shoes that people seem to like. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. New York, Larry, you're on the Savage Nation from WOR. What's on your mind, Larry?
Yes, hi, Michael. Do you see any distinction between an anarchist movement and a communist movement? Because you mentioned that it's a return to the communism that was rejected by China and Russia, and I'm wondering, why would they go to something that was rejected? It seems like it's more an anarchist movement than a communist movement.
I'll explain exactly why, because Obama is actually stuck in the past. Obama is an academic. You have to understand the roots of Obama. Obama comes from a hard-left academic past where the Marxism of the 60s is still currently taught. The Marxism of the 60s is still currency in academia. And so Obama is stuck in the amber of the past. What he doesn't understand is that the very policies that he's trying to impose upon America, which he's been quite successful in doing so far, are policies that have been tried and failed in large nations within the Soviet Union in the past. Even the communist Chinese have moved somewhat to the free market. China is still still a police state. Make no mistake about it. But economically, China is quite a hybrid, which is why it's booming. There is more freedom for investors and developers in China than there is in America. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes. Why do you think the cities are booming in China and ours are shriveling? Why do you think San Francisco is falling apart at the seams where the roads are broken? Why do you think there's garbage in the streets of New York? It's because of the bureaucracy, because of the red tape, because of the overbearing officials everywhere you turn, the permits that you need, the inspectors that bother everybody. They don't exist in China, which is why China is booming. China is actually an example of the free market as it was in America in the 1950s, where the government had a hands-off policy and let people rage with their development and investments. And taxes are very low in China. I don't know if you know that. The exact opposite is true here in America, which is why the country is semi-crippled. And Obama would like to take us back even further and cripple us even further. Why? Because he doesn't even understand that the failed policies he is pushing have been tried before and have failed before. That's why. He's not as clever as you think. Take a look at his number one advisor. Who was his number one advisor? Who was Obama's brain? Remember how they used to call Karl Rove Bush's brain? Remember that? Why do they not call the fellow that I love so much, the genius, the street agitator from the streets of Chicago, a long-time, well-known left-wing street agitator who is Obama's campaign brain? Why is he never mentioned in that regard? Why don't they call him Obama's brain? Okay, so the simple answer is the reason that Obama keeps pushing communism or Marxism, as I pointed out in did you read Trickle Down Tyranny yet?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Okay, I'm going to send you the best book written in the year 2012, the most important book you can ever buy before the election, Trickle Down Tyranny from Michael Savage, number one New York Times best-selling author. Read it now.
Savage.
On July 28, 1932, President Hoover moved to evict them.
they started out badly. They started to evict these guys, the police did, and it got pretty violent. A cop who's literally lost control of himself, they've been pushing and shoving, and he's had a brick thrown at him, but he loses control and turns around and shoots two guys. And this, at this point, the army starts, is mobilized to come in.
Heading that army was Chief of Staff Douglas MacArthur, a man who was sure communists were controlling the Bonus Marchers. He wanted them out once and for all. MacArthur's principal aide, Dwight Eisenhower, urged caution, but MacArthur was not a cautious man.
MacArthur comes across the bridge from Fort Myer with the tanks, with the guys with bayonets. There's another infantry unit coming up from Fort Washington up the river, and they all coalesce on downtown Washington. And then it gets really brutal. There's powerful tear gas.
Really brutal. We're talking about the Bonus Army, the Bonus March of 1932, when soldier killed soldier here in the United States of America. That's for those of you who don't know much about history, and I don't blame you. I'm not criticizing you. Many of you think that if it happened here today, it would be the first time. And this ties into the fears that we all have about an officious, overbearing, secretive, corrupt government under Barack Obama that is stocking up on hundreds of thousands of rounds, millions of rounds, as a matter of fact, of hollow point ammunition. Nobody knows why a government would be giving federal agencies hollow point ammunition. After all, they're not a military that's going to go to war against Iran. They're giving hollow point bullets to the Weather Service. They're giving hollow point bullets to the Social Security Administration. And people don't know why. And that's why I thought today was a good day for me to talk about the Bonus March of 1932, when veterans marched on the capital of the United States of America to be paid their pitiful little bonuses right then and there, because they were starving to death. And instead of paying them, the President of the United States and the Attorney General of that time ordered the military to clear them out. Things got bad. Men were shot. And then the encampment was burned to the ground. The camp was burned to the ground. And this was the greatest concentration of fighting troops in Washington, D.C. since 1865, shamefully led by Douglas MacArthur, who Eisenhower tried to constrain him. He was a junior officer. He had no effect. And shamefully, again, one of my great heroes, Mr. Patton, General Patton, at the time a lower-ranking officer, brought in the tanks and bayonets from the South against soldiers, soldiers against soldiers. So if you don't think that soldiers in this country would fire upon you as citizens if they were ordered to do so, then you don't know history. And if you don't think that soldiers in this time would fire upon fellow soldiers who were unarmed, then you don't know history. And I think those who don't know history are condemned to repeat it, as we learned from the saying of the Spanish philosopher Santayana, those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it. Just know your history. Know your history. When governments are pushed to the wall, they are ultimately the power, not you. Now, that doesn't mean that we should roll over to a despotic regime. That doesn't mean we should give up our weapons. That does not mean any of those things. I'm just trying to educate you as to what happened in the past right here in the good old U.S. of A. And I don't think anybody else is talking about it. I don't think anyone's ever talked about it. So now let's bring it down home, boys and girls. What the cancer of the media is obsessing on what Aiken said about abortion. The cancer of the media will not stop talking about what Aiken said about abortion right through the Republican convention, because that's what cancer does. It spreads itself like a cancer. What stories is the cancer of the media not covering that you think are more important stories than the BS that came out of the mouth of Aiken? Those are important questions. We know about the bad economy. We know things like that, you know. What else is the cancer not talking about? Or any other topic? Ron in Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Ron. Someone gave me a book for my birthday, and I just want to tell you it was a fabulous book. Fabulous book. I loved it a lot more than Trickle of Poverty. And I had one question, actually. You're talking about the news. One thing that has not had a blip in the news was about SCYTL, Spanish company that's counting the votes. That should be most important news.
Oh, the company that I researched is going to count all the votes in America, the foreign company that does the data analysis?
Yes, sir. That should be the
I was the one who brought it up. I don't get credit for it from anybody. But, yeah, I forgot my own story.
Yes.
Thank you for reminding me. That's a good story. A foreign-owned company counting the votes in the United States of America. It's astounding to me. No one's talking about it. The cancer of the media won't talk about that, but they'll talk about the BS coming out of the mouths of various and sundry congressmen as long as they have an R next to their name. Chicago, Illinois. Kerry, go on. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, outstanding show today, Dr. Savage. I'd like to know why the media isn't talking about Israel, the attack in Iran before the election year. There's been news stories out there that Netanyahu basically said, okay, this is what you're going to have to do to keep it, to get us to back down. You don't hear that. You don't hear a peep about that.
Well, I predicted we'd have the October surprise. I've been talking about it for over a year. It's pretty obvious to me that Israel's going to attack, and it's done strictly to coordinate with the Obama campaign because they feel he'll get a boost during such an attack, and that people tend to rally around a commander-in-chief, pardon the expression, during times of a national emergency. And let's face it, Rahm Emanuel said, I've never seen an emergency that I've let go to waste. So in this sense, I think Israel is the tail, and America's the dog, and the dog is telling the tail when to wag. Don't you believe that's true? We're not allowed to say that. Did I just step on some sore toes? I hope not. I don't mean to offend anyone out there in the Savage Nation. As you well know, I'm an easygoing guy who generally holds back what I believe. And I do easy talk on the Savage Nation to make certain that your afternoons and evenings are more pleasant than your mornings. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the next caller. You're invited to call us at 1-800. Oh, I gave you the number already. New York, Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I'd like to just commend you. A couple nights ago, I heard you reading the Ten Commandments in the Bible. I just want to thank you. I think that's true. You got balls in all categories, and keep it up. And I just want to commend you.
Well, you know why I read the Ten Commandments? Because I was talking about the fact that when I was a kid, I was on a rifle team in a New York City high school. And no one could believe there were actual rifles in high schools in New York City, and no one shot themselves or anyone else. And I try to figure out why was there no suicide or homicide in the halls of high schools with guns owned by the rifle team. And, of course, one of the reasons is the drug use was almost near zero amongst middle-class kids. Number two, most of the teachers on the rifle team were returning veterans from the Korean War. And I think most importantly, the church was very strong at that time, and the Ten Commandments were everywhere. Everywhere you turned, you saw them in schools, on public buildings, in churches, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, things like that. So the children had it. These ideas were inculcated in their head that it was wrong to kill an innocent person. Now, today, as you well know, since the 60s, when the cancer of the 60s occurred as a result of Allen Ginsberg, Timothy Leary, and a few other choice cancer cells appeared on the American scene, the tumor of insanity spread through America's body politic. And as a result, the children have no guidelines. They don't know north from south, east from west, right from wrong, truth from lies, degeneracy from morality. They have no idea of any of these things, primarily because of the 50-year long march through the institutions of the culture by the communist left, whose goal it was to bring about an amoral generation, which they have done. They have done. They have done. Chicago, Illinois. Abe, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yo, Dr. Savage.
Yes? What's on your mind?
Let the courage of your callers be an indication of our gratitude for what you demonstrated earlier in the show, and you demonstrate every day when you come onto our airwaves. And your renewal of your commitment to the truth today I found to be compelling. And
here's the point. Look, the point is that we know this government is despotic and it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I'm trying to warn people of what could happen here because it's happened before. Only this time it'll be much worse.
You've been warning people for so long and so many people that we're now understanding what is behind Big Sis Napolitano's latest caper in the destruction of male youth and male adults in our country. Now, I know that there are...
Why does she still have her job? The scandal of a Napolitano is far greater than the words of a foolish man in Congress. And yet you know and I know that the left-wing press, the cancer of the press, did nothing with the story about the harassment of males by Janet Napolitano's sorority sisters. That's a huge story. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So the Republican convention is coming up. There's a tropical storm named Isaac right now centered somewhere off the coasts of Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic. And now there's talk that the hurricane could hit Florida. Personally, by what I've seen in storms, I think that's rubbish. These storms tend to burn themselves out before they hit Florida. Of course, there have been examples when they haven't. But I don't know why suddenly you're talking about, oh, it's going to hit the Tampa during the storm, during the convention. Who knows? The real hurricane that's coming to Tampa is Joe Biden. Why in the world they would send that clown to the Republican convention is anybody's guess. It just shows you how out of touch with reality Obama's brain is. I mean, if they think that Joe Biden's going to upset the Republican campaign, I believe that they're living in a total fantasy world. Biden, number one, is irrelevant. Biden is known as a man who has loose lips that sink ships. And I have no idea what Biden could possibly do to wreak havoc at the Republican convention, which is an interesting question unto itself. Why would they send that old clown down there? I don't understand that one. It makes no sense. He has no cachet. He has no real following of his own. It just makes no sense to me. Which stories are not being covered by the cancer cells in the media that should be covered? Now, I know this is very shocking rhetoric. I know that if you're listening to this radio show for the first time, you can't believe what you're hearing, that I dare call people in the media cancer cells. What would you call a tumor of this type that is unable, unwilling, however you want to put it, to report on the real stories, instead focusing upon the foolish words of a congressman from the South and what he said about abortion, rather than so many stories that are monster by comparison, such as Janet Napolitano of Homeland Security being sued by male employees because the sorority sisters of Janet Napolitano are stepping all over them and stealing their birthright, such as a Russian attack submarine sailing undetected in the Gulf of Mexico for days or longer than a number of days under the watch of the new Navy, which apparently does nothing but watch itself to make certain it's complying with the new KGB rules that are in place with regard to affirmative action hiring and other politically important situations. How about the rotten economy, the high unemployment rate? How about the fact that the Middle East is burning? How about the fact that Syria is burning? How about the fact that Obama has so bungled Syria that he's lined China and Russia up against us? How about all of those stories? Aren't they more important? And yet the cancer cells in the media won't touch them. And I say this knowing that it shocks you, knowing that it must make you a little uneasy to hear someone calling such nice men and women who wear such nice clothing and smile so frequently on the television sets, that I would call them cancer cells. But opportunistic infections are that way. They invade a body and then they destroy the body. And the cancer cells in the media have destroyed the body politic as sure as I'm sitting here. How else can you explain that so many real events in the world go without reportage of any kind, go without discussion of any kind, and instead day and night, night and day, it's a megaphone for the Chicago machine? How do you explain it other than by calling these people in the media what they are, cancer cells? New York, WOR, Jim, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I would say that they're more of a necrotizing fasciitis, and you being an epidemiologist, I'm sure you would understand what that is. I'd say one story that has not been said at all is about the Marine that got arrested for posting on Facebook. That's a disgrace.
It's the top story on michaelsavage.com That's where I ranked it. That's right. The new fascist regime of the Obama administration put a U.S. Marine in a psychiatric facility against his will because of his postings against Obama on his own Facebook page. We are now entering the actualities of the ex-Soviet Union, where political dissidents were declared mentally incompetent and put in mental hospitals, where they were given dangerous drugs and shock therapy by quack doctors who worked for the state. That's what you have under this kind, gentle man who loves basketball from Chicago and his dangerous evil machine. Does that work for you? New York, W.O.R. Pete, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, you are the best. I just want to tell you, I don't know if you're familiar with the Flatbush area, Kings Plaza, but years ago in the 70s when I was growing up, there was on Flatbush Avenue, there was an archery place, miniature golf and archery, right on Flatbush Avenue. Could you imagine a place that give you bow and arrow today on a main thoroughfare like that?
Oh, no, I can't imagine what the nanny state would... Wait, what would Bloomberg do if a bow and arrow store opened on Flatbush Avenue today?
But you'd shoot it into the hay. But if you turned around, you could shoot it right onto Flatbush Avenue at people, at buses, at cars. But nobody ever did it.
No, nobody did it. Why? Why do you say the kids didn't do it then? Would you agree with me? Because there were less drugs. They had the Ten Commandments. There was a strong church. There were strong parents. There's strong school teachers. Wouldn't you say those are the reasons?
That's exactly the reason. Not only that, everybody knew each other, and if I didn't, my mother or father didn't catch me, a neighbor caught me. No, we just wouldn't do it.
That's exactly right. I lived in a close-knit slum in the New York area called Longfellow Avenue, where every family knew each other, and your father wasn't there, someone else's father was. Right. And if you did something stupid, he'd rap you in the head. And he didn't have to go, the police didn't arrest him for giving you a smack in that for being a moron.
Exactly.
So now I'm going to read something for all the youngsters out there from an ancient script called the Bible. Set ye up an ensign upon the high mountain, lift up the voice unto them, wave the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my consecrated ones, ye have called them my mighty ones for mine anger, even my proudly exulting ones. Now, why am I reading that to you? Why? Because Israel was threatened in those days, as it is being threatened today, by Hitler's descendants in Iran. Here's what the Bible wrote in Isaiah. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole earth. To destroy the whole earth. Ahmadinejad is a resurrection of the devil. Ahmadinejad is a descendant of the devil. And yet your cancer cells in the media are talking about the foolish words of a congressman and his idiotic remarks about abortion. The earth could be destroyed. They wouldn't talk about it. The whole earth could come tumbling down, and the cancer cells in the media would talk about what a Republican did in taking a nude swim in the Sea of Galilee. Terrible times. God said in those days, therefore I will make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of her place. Why? Why did the earth tremble? How did the earth tremble? Why did those things happen? Was it just earthquakes? Was it natural disaster? I don't know. I wasn't there. I have no idea. I don't talk to God. God doesn't talk to me. All I can say to you is that history is repeating itself, and evil is everywhere on the earth today to an extent I have never seen it in my own lifetime. I know it existed in other lifetimes to a far greater extent than it does today. But make no mistake about it. The evil of Chicago has now permeated all of America, from the smallest to the highest, from the lowest to the highest, from the weakest to the strongest. The evil of Chicago, going back to the days of Al Capone, have now become mainstreamed in the United States of America. That is what is at stake in November. Make no mistake about what's at stake.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here on the Savage Nation today, we have incredible audio for you. You know, every day I hear from callers to my radio show tell me they're ready to stand up to the government if it ever becomes a dictatorship. They tell me that's why they need their 100-round drum magazines. Well, the fact of the matter is, the government could crush them in a second. We're not Syria. I'm not looking for a civil war. Now, why do I say that? Well, because the government has crushed rebellions in this country before. That's right. Soldier killing soldier. Did you know that? In 1932, an army of veterans came to Washington, D.C., and demanded bonuses they had been promised to help them through the Depression. Listen to this.
They were war heroes. They brought their wives and children with them. And there were guys walking around with medals, with, you know, bona fide major heroes of World War One were here. It was an integrated camp. There was a piano in the middle of the thing. So you'd often have, you know, a black guy up there playing St. Louis blues and a white guy up there playing shanty in old shantytown. There was music everywhere. There were huge stews, huge cauldrons of mulligatawny stews, and there were boxing matches, baseball games. There were gospel choirs that came in. It had sort of its own MPs, the people that patrolled it, made sure it was clean, that nobody was, you know, there was no drinking allowed. No communists were allowed. You had to be a registered veteran, and if you were a communist veteran, you had to go across the river to another camp.
Well, I guess that wouldn't happen these days, but here's what did happen.
The Bonus Army behaved well, and their lobbying of Congress was intense, but it was not enough to approve the bill. Though it passed the House, the Senate voted it down. In the eyes of the Hoover administration, the bonus marchers had lost their political fight and now should leave. But they didn't. A confrontation loomed.
Well, and that's when violence broke out.
On July 28, 1932, President Hoover moved to evict them.
The day started out badly. They started to evict these guys, the police did, and it got pretty violent. A cop who has literally lost control of himself, they've been pushing and shoving, and he's had a brick thrown at him, but he loses control and turns around and shoots two guys. And this, at this point, the army starts, is mobilized to come in.
And take a guess who was leading the army against the veterans of the army.
Heading that army was Chief of Staff Douglas MacArthur, a man who was sure communists were controlling the bonus marchers. He wanted them out once and for all. MacArthur's principal aide, Dwight Eisenhower, urged caution, but MacArthur was not a cautious man.
MacArthur comes across the bridge from Fort Myer with the tanks, with the guys with bayonets. There's another infantry unit coming up from Fort Washington up the river, and they all coalesce on downtown Washington. And then it gets really brutal. There's powerful tear gas used, tanks, bayonets. People can't believe the sight of these tanks in the street coming down Pennsylvania Avenue.
So the next time you think you're going to be able to stand up against a government gone mad, think again. Your drum magazines will be useless against tanks. Listen to what they were up against.
The bonus veterans have defied their leaders. The police cannot handle them. Since the riot this morning that ended in one death and dozens wounded. And so they're being forced out of their shacks by smoke bombs and tear gas, hurled by the troops who have been called out by the President of the United States.
What I'm telling you is to overthrow the government from within by putting in legitimate, honest government officials, not corrupt Democrats. Forget about shooting it out with the army. Here's how the bonus army ended up.
The orders of the president must be obeyed. And the roaring flames sound the death knell to the fantastic bonus army. In the shadow of the beautiful dome of the capital of the United States of America.
You hear that? The order of the president must be obeyed. This was in 1932. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Here's the current president who must be obeyed, Barack Hussein Obama.
What is absolutely true is if you watch me on the campaign trail, here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, and there are sharp differences between myself and Mr. Romney in terms of how we would do that. That is a substantive difference. That's what I talk about on the campaign. If you look at the overall trajectory of our campaign and the ads that I've approved and are produced by my campaign, you'll see that we point out sharp differences between the candidates, but we don't go out of bounds.
Obviously, we would be more comfortable obeying Romney than this communist, and that's why we must elect Romney. Okay?
I feel very comfortable with the fact that when you look at the campaign we're running, we are focused on the issues and the differences that matter to working families all across America, and that's exactly the kind of debate the American people deserve. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Mr. President. Don't be a stranger. Come back.
Also in sound today, the despicable, unqualified Barbara Boxer, senator from California, says Romney doesn't deserve to be president. It's beyond belief.
For Mitt Romney to say it would be wonderful, wonderful to ban abortion, what is he thinking? I'm old enough to know what it was like when women died in alleyways and were made infertile. What is he thinking? He doesn't deserve to be president for a whole list of reasons, and this is another reason.
I researched the Bonus March of 1932, where soldier killed soldier. And we have vintage newsreel audio on the Bonus March of 1932. What you don't know is that the President of the United States at that time ordered soldiers to fire on soldiers who were demanding their bonus payments from World War I. And this was in the shadow of the Capitol building of the United States of America. Who led the 3rd Cavalry Division from Fort Myer, the 12th Infantry from Fort Washington, and the 1st Light Tank Regiment against the soldiers? Well, it was the greatest concentration of fighting troops in Washington since 1865. You're gonna get sad when you find out it was General MacArthur and General Patton who led these people. Now, the soldiers who were protesting were called bums and tramps. The general who defended them said, oh, they didn't speak of you as tramps in 1917 when they sent you off to war. He said, take it from me, this is the greatest demonstration of Americanism we've ever had. And yet, they were fired upon. But General MacArthur led the troops. Not only that, MacArthur said that the communists were controlling the bonus marchers. Then it gets really brutal. Okay, moving on. We have a list of the 50 wealthiest lawmakers in D.C., and, of course, most of them are left-wingers. Former Secretary of State and China lobbyist, one of the most unqualified, despicable people in the history of American government, Madeleine Halfbright, who bombed Serbia into the Stone Age for no reason whatsoever, says she's going to blame Bush forever for all her problems, all of our problems. Obama drops in at White House press conference after avoiding the press for months. President Obama hosted a kids' state dinner where they served greasy fried food. Yeah, greasy fried food. Dishes that were really nutritious and delicious. Fried garbage. That's it. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Left-wing media is going all going agog, but they never identify a far-left organization such as the Southern Poverty Law Center when they take away people's farms, or far-left psychotics when they do things. So don't tell me this is not being politicized. It is being politicized from the first second it happened. And I would wager a guess and a bet with anyone listening to this show that when you first heard of a massacre at the Sikh temple, the first thing you asked was who did it? Because that's a human reaction. The first thing you wanted to know was who did it. Now, you couple that with the shooting in the movie theater a few weeks ago, swept under the rug by the media, hordes of youngsters breaking into stores and stealing things, and the police are able to do nothing about it. Media doesn't talk about it, and yet it's almost an epidemic across America. When you talk about the fact that although there may be a trial going on for the Fort Hood massacre individual, Nidal Hassan, it's being delayed and delayed and delayed. In fact, his lawyers and he are delaying it by saying he's going to go into trial, the Muslim major Nidal Hassan, Fort Hood massacre. He won't cut his beard, so they keep delaying the trial. Why is the FBI, why is the Justice Department, why is Obama, why is the media not talking about the Fort Hood massacre? Why? Well, okay, this is a terrible time in American history, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, because we have the most divisive administration in American history. It is the most corrupt, the most incompetent, and the only way they can keep the people off their backs is by dividing them. It's the same way Harry Reid keeps people off his back. For example, his son represents a Chinese solar company in Nevada. You don't know about that. All you know is that Harry Reid lies about Romney doesn't pay taxes. Well, where's Harry Reid's income tax statement? You see, so it's all politics. Let's take the callers. New York, WOR, Palm, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Real quick, I believe that this was firmly entrenched with the fact that Sikhs were confused as Muslims. And just a little bit more about this guy, right? And I'll make a bigger point. I mean, this guy is clearly confused. He's involved in racist supremacist groups in 2012.
Yes.
Secondly, why I'm saying that there's a tie in, this guy's wearing a 9/11 tattoo, right? Which to me tells me he's obviously emotionally involved with what happened, right? As we all are. Now, Thirdly, he sees a bunch of people wearing turbans. He confuses them for Al Qaeda based on what he sees in the news. And bang, there he goes. There he acts.
Well, no, believe me, I understand. But look, before we continue this discussion, again, I want to repeat, since I'm in a very incendiary environment where people always misinterpret what I say on purpose, had it occurred, God forbid, in a Muslim house of worship, it would have been just as tragic and just as horrendous, okay? This lunatic thought that Sikhs were Muslims. Of course, they are not. In fact, you know, as a Sikh yourself, they are, your people, are related to the Hindus more so than any other religion. And in the beginning of your religion, in the 1400s, your ancestors, if you want to call them that, had big fights with India's Muslim Mughal rulers, by the way.
That's exactly what we did. And that's part of the reason why we chose to wear turbans, so we could stand out in the street and take the threat instead of having persecution happen to Hindus and Buddhists and so forth.
People don't know much about the Sikh people. I can't say I'm an expert, but the fact of the matter is the Sikhs are a unique people unto themselves. And your religion was founded in 1469 by Guru Nanak, who actually preached equality in a nation which lived within the Hindu caste system.
That's exactly right, sir. I mean, he preached equality, and he also preached more than that. It was, you'll have to defend equality, meaning, you know, you will fight with the sword to make sure that person has the right to believe and worship and so forth and choose to live how they live.
Well, I understand that it was the 10th and final founding leader, Guru Singh, who commanded Sikhs to carry a curved ceremonial dagger. If you want to give your co-religionists a piece of advice from Michael Savage, I would update the weaponry from a dagger to a Smith & Wesson.
I'll pass that along for sure.
Well, it's a terror, and I'm sure that every Sikh in America, in fact, every fair-minded person in this country is reeling from this insanity. There's no question about it. I thank you for listening to this program. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Question for you. Do you believe, as I do, that Obama has divided the races more than ever before in modern American history? And does that have anything to do with this right-wing racist lunatic going crazy and shooting Sikhs who he thought were Muslims? It wouldn't have mattered to him, probably, if they were Muslims or Sikhs, by the way. He was just killing anyone with a beard and a turban. But the question is, the climate in America today, as manipulated by Axelrod et al., do you think that has anything to do with it? Yes or no? Yes or no? Ohio, Bob, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I live in a mixed-race neighborhood, and I think the election of President Obama and the way he's conducting himself in office has greatly facilitated relations between blacks and whites. And I, you know, it's
all right,
very...
That's a good... I appreciate that. So in your neighborhood, he's improved race relations.
Yeah, I take my grandkids to the playground, so I have a, you know, black people are there, and, you know, when I'm talking with them, you know, we talk politics because I'm pretty opinionated. You know, they feel that they're empowered with, you know, they feel like they have an honest stake in the country now that they have a black president, and I think a black president who is conducting himself with great dignity in office, you know, compared to his predecessor. And
We could argue about the great dignity. He is perhaps the most corrupt president in modern American history. You'd have to go back over 100 years to find a president as corrupt as this one.
Reagan had to be, in my opinion, the most corrupt president we ever had.
Well, I don't want to argue over who was more corrupt, but when you look at Solyndra, the missing trillions of dollars that have been given to Obama's cronies, my friend, you can't call that a dignified presidency.
Savage.
Let's get back to this tragedy. And if you have anything to say about race relations in America, do you believe Obama has brought the races together or divided races? Amelia, New York, on the issue of division or cohesion, where do you stand on Obama?
I totally agree with you. I feel that he has divided us tremendously. He's with Al Sharpton all the time. He's with Jesse Jackson. I mean, these are people that instigate this type of situation. So, yes, I totally agree with you.
Well, okay, that's another opinion. Most unionists are Democrats. I would say 90% of the cops in America will vote for Obama despite the American flag on their shoulder. And 99% of firemen will vote for Obama despite the flags on their fire trucks. And most public workers will vote for Obama because of the pension issue. It's that simple. But right now there are dead people who are innocent, who had nothing at all to do with politics so far as I know. And here they were picked on by a maniac, guy who went in the military, was thrown out of the military. Yes, he's a white male. And the man who saved all the other Sikhs was a white male. Policeman who took 8 bullets. Is CNN reporting on the policeman from Brooklyn, New York, who was living in that community in Wisconsin, who took the 8 bullets? Of course not. All they're reporting on is the white man who shot the Sikhs, not the white man who protected the other Sikhs, the man who took 8 bullets. So, you know, this is a very, very, very bad situation, obviously. What about Obama's Fast and Furious scandal? What about sending machine guns to Mexico? Why have we not heard about that? Answer, because Romney is the worst candidate in American history. Yes, I will vote for him. Yes, he's all we have. Yes, he's an honest man. Yes, I can't wait until he and his wife are in the White House. Yes, I can't wait until a gang from Chicago goes back to Chicago. But Romney is running the worst campaign in American history. It was his to lose, and I'm telling you, if he doesn't stop playing Mr. Nice Guy and stop playing the middle of the road, he's just liable to lose because the unions are against him. The police are not going to vote for him. The firemen are not going to vote for him. The public teachers unions are not going to vote for him. And a lot of other people who are confused are not rallying around Mitt Romney because he's just not making enough of a position for himself. If this man came out for borders, language, and culture and explained what that meant, he'd win the election by 20 points, but he's not doing it. He's playing it too close to the middle, and I blame his campaign staff for that. I've done this for 6 months, but I don't want to talk about Romney. I want to talk about this horrible tragedy in Wisconsin. When I first saw it, I was sickened and shocked by it, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it other than talk about it? That's all we're doing now is talking about it. And let me say something else about talking. Many of you don't know something about talk radio. So since I've been around the business for, what, I don't know, 94, it's a long time. I know something about my business. This is not the news. This is not NPR. I am not a newsman. I am an opinion man. I give you one man's opinion based upon the news or based upon a movie I watched, News Views and Reviews, a term I coined that was stolen by a local station. News Views and Reviews, it's opinion. This is opinion. My opinions are strong, and I think they're well-founded, and it triggers thoughts in you. Most of you like me. Some of you don't. Like, the guy from Ohio hates me. He says I went to Berkeley and this and that. But he listens to me. The reason he listens to me is because, like other people who disagree with me, at least they get a chance to form their own opinions against a hardened opinion on the other side. They don't hear this. You turn on the news, you don't get opinion. You get a garbled melange of words. And you can't form an opinion based on it. It's very hard. The only way to form a good opinion, is, in my opinion, is by reacting to another man's opinion. In fact, it's a funny thing. I was in, North Beach last night. I was arguing with my friend who owns the Italian restaurant. I haven't been there in a while. I went away and I went in there. He and I started arguing. He had the nerve to tell me what to eat again. I had to push him away from my table. He says, no, you take the bow tie noodle. I said, stop it already. I don't want him. I want the... No. I said, you know, I said, the reason I come in to eat is because I argue with you. I lose as much weight arguing with you as I do in the calories I gain from eating here. So we laughed, being Italian. He says to me, well, without argument, how can you live? I said, you're right. I see the world the same way. And so that's what strong opinion is. It doesn't mean you have to hate me because you disagree with me. In fact, I hope you wouldn't hate me, even though you may disagree with me. I hope you're not like Axelrod and Obama, who are lifetime Marxist communists out to destroy our way of life. I would hope you love America. I hope you love the system that has given us all of these inventions and conveniences and advantages. I would hope that you understand what we are facing, but I wouldn't expect it. Well, most people have already thought these things, but I'm not so sure that people have the time to sit down and think the things that I think. I mean, this is what I do for a living. Most of you are running around trying to make a living, support your family, support yourself. You've got your own passions to deal with. You've got your own addictions to deal with, your own fears of mortality to deal with. And you wake up and you say, what the heck is going on in our world? Innocent, peaceful. And by the way, they're amongst the most peaceful people I've ever met in the world, the Sikh people, and I've known a few. Yes, I have. I don't go into a big detail now, but peace-loving people, innocent people, good people, never an evil word comes out of their mouth. Good people. Why them, you ask yourself, why? Well, I don't have an answer for why. All we know is that we're living with more and more of these types of random madmen going crazy and shooting. You could say it's drugs. You could just as soon blame the pharmaceutical industry. You could just as soon blame the medical establishment as you could blame the administration for dividing races. You could. There's enough blame to go around in our society today. You don't know where to put your finger in a dike right now. This dike is broken. The dike of civility is gone. Did Obama do it? Yes. Yeah, he did. This gang from Chicago came to power. They live on division. They live on class warfare, race warfare, making one group hate another in order to keep us from looking at what they're doing. Yes, that's right. Don't think that they're not going to use this opportunity to seek gun control, for example. Two within 3 weeks, I can guarantee you the gun grabbers who want to turn you into a serf are working overtime right now to see how they can parse it so they don't lose any votes while, stealing a little bit more of your power. Believe me, this is going on right now as we speak. But if you want to talk about any of these, the temple shooting, the Sikh people, the hero Brooklyn cop who took 8 bullets to save all the other Sikhs, whose name you don't even know, Brian Murphy, who was also a distinguished man who served in the U.S. Marine Corps. The man is an amazing American hero, and yet you know nothing about the cop who saved all the other Sikhs. He stood up. He shot it out with the lunatic. He took 9 bullets. The alleged racist madman shot him 9 times, and he stood there shooting with him. And at the same time, he waved off help from fellow policemen during the carnage at the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin. Did you know that? He also told the other Sikhs to get back into the temple as he was shooting it out in the parking lot. Did one of the rats in the media tell you any of this? Did one of the vermin who were trying to turn hatred against white people tell you that it was a white man who saved the other Sikhs? No. Why? Because it doesn't fit the agenda. The agenda, as you well know, was written a long time ago, and it was written by the devil himself. It's a story that needs discussion. I am going to discuss the racist Sikh temple shooting that occurred, most particularly the families and friends and the larger community of the Sikh community in America. There are many things I want to ask you, and I'm sure many of you would like to make comments on the Sikh shooting. The first question that came to anyone's mind when they heard about this was, who did it? What was the race? That's the first thing. Let's not fool ourselves. That's the first thing that entered everybody's mind. Who did the shooting? No one asked after we found out it was a white male supremacist, a white supremacist who did the shooting. Nobody asked who was the hero cop who saved the other Sikhs and took 9 bullets in doing so. No one talked about the race of the hero Brooklyn-born cop who stood up to this madman and took 9 bullets trying to stop the racist madman who shot up a Sikh temple in suburban Milwaukee. In fact, while he was being shot, he was telling the Sikhs to get into the temple. And that is Police Lieutenant Brian Murphy, age 51, born in New York, whose brother Terry is a retired NYPD detective. This is a man who also served in the U.S. Marine Corps. And this is a man who was, I would say, if you're looking for a hero, it's this hero. Now, if you want to generalize about racism and race, you can do that. Yes, it was a white male who did the shooting, and yes, it was a white male who prevented a further bloodbath. So now can we move on to the next question? The next question is, why is there such a cluster of insane shootings in America under Obama? I think the question answers itself to a certain extent. I think that race relations are worse today than they ever have been in my lifetime. I've never seen anything like this. We know that the Democrat Party itself is a party that thrives on, let us say, dissension between peoples. We certainly know that Obama and his minions are conducting class warfare in America, pitting poor against rich, the middle class against the poor, the middle class against the rich. We know that the Obama machine wants blacks to resent whites, whites to resent blacks, Hispanics to resent black. It just doesn't end. We know that we have the most divisive administration in modern American history. I don't know of one that's been more divisive. Can we blame Axelrod? No. Can we blame Obama? No. You can blame anybody you want. The fact of the matter is there was a madman, a racist white male madman, who shot up a Sikh temple, and people are dead. If you're a member of the United States Sikh community, what do you want to say to America is the real question. And who do you think is most to blame for the recent spate of mass shootings in America? And while you're at it, will someone answer this question, please? Can someone stand up in the audience and tell me why the media has almost immediately brushed aside the Fort Hood massacre conducted by the Muslim major Nidal Hassan, and as near as 2 weeks ago brushed aside the finding that the FBI knew that the Muslim major Nidal Hassan was a madman and a ticking time bomb about to go off? Can you tell me why Wolf Blitzer and the other vermin in the media completely pushed aside and still to this day do not refer to the Fort Hood massacre with any consideration? Moreover, why do you think the anti-Christian, anti-white, anti-American Southern Poverty Law Center has suddenly inserted itself into this tragedy? Who is the Southern Poverty Law Center? We're going to look into them and ask ourselves, have they anything to do with the militarization of individuals in this country simply by picking on white males? This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Talk about the Sikh people. I can't say I'm an expert, but anyone who does a search will find out that the Sikhs are more or less an offshoot of the Hindu faith, not the Muslim faith, not that it should matter, This madman obviously thought he was killing foreigners. He didn't care who they were. For him, it could have been Jews just as well. And I have a question for the audience that I think is very important. And that goes to Jews, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, and any other minority sect in religion in America. Would you object to having armed security guards at your house of worship? I have for years have been trying to get some Jewish people that I know to have armed security guards, and they live in a glass house of absurdity. Oh, it won't happen. Oh, don't worry. Oh, Hashem will protect me. They don't listen to reality. They don't know what reality they're in. There should be armed guards inside Jewish temples and outside. Some have them, by the way. Hindus should have armed guards. Muslims should have armed guards. And by the way, not American military, not American police paid for by taxpayers, but paid for by the congregation. Jews, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, I recommend that you have armed security guards, private armed security guards, both inside and outside your houses of worship, because I think it's going to get worse than it's ever been. Now, if you want to talk about this Sikh temple shooting in any manner, you can do so. I'm quite surprised that various individuals who I admire in the media are calling him an army vet as if to smear the army and if to imply that the army had something to do with it. I mean, he was kicked out of the army 14 years ago. That's like saying Sikh shooter was a milk drinker. Sikh shooter got a haircut. Sikh shooter was tattooed. That has as much relevance as him having been kicked out of the army 14 years ago. 1-800-449-8255. Let's begin in New York on WOR. Barry, go ahead, please.
I don't think this should be politicized in any way. And with all due respect, to attribute this in any way, shape, or form to the Obama administration is just as wrong as labeling this guy as an ex-serviceman. I am an independent. I'm a Zionist. I'm a proud American. This has nothing to do with Obama.
Sir, I appreciate the fact that it's a free country and we all have very strong opinions, but you are categorically saying it has nothing to do with Obama. I'm not so sure I agree with you. I personally believe Obama has pitted the races against each other and has created the incendiary climate in which things of this nature are occurring. I think he's pushing people over the edge personally.
But you're on the radio. You have a very, very powerful position.
And? So it's one man's opinion.
Not when you're on the radio. You're a terrific... Listen, I've been listening to you for years, many years. I lived in Marin County for many years. I've been listening to you for years. I continue to listen to you. I'm begging you not to politicize this, because that's driving the engine that fuels this crazy nut.
Now you raise a very interesting question. Who politicized this lunatic to go shoot up Sikhs? Who do you think pushed him over the edge? Let me ask you the question then. Since you say don't politicize it, what is it that must have triggered this white supremacist to go into a temple where people wear long beards and they have turbans and shoot it up? What do you think triggered him?
In a word, hate.
Well, there's a lot of hate in the world. In fact, most people walk around with hate in their heart. I mean, let's not be children about it. You think the average person walking around has love in their heart? I don't believe that. I think this country is filled with hatred.
I agree with you there. We are. This is a sad and beautiful planet. I agree with you, Michael. I agree with you. But saying that this is an Obama...
Listen to what I'm getting at. Listen, take my viewpoint and do with it as you will. There's a lot of hatred. People have seething hatreds, jealousies, rages. That's almost part of the human condition. But it seems to be at a fever pitch now under Obama because, in my opinion, he has conducted class warfare from the day he started as president. His stock in trade is pitting race against race, class against class. That is not to say he wanted this to happen. But as you know and I know, this crisis will not go wasted by his team.
Dr. Savage, just keep in mind that David Duke ran for president, and David Duke has just as much influence on a core membership than anybody else, whether it's Obama or Reagan or you or me. And let me tell you something, it is wrong, it is absolutely wrong to politicize this, because it is, in my opinion, on your radio show, thank you,
Obama did not cause the problem. The problem caused Obama.
Now, what do you mean by the what problem caused Obama?
Listen, this is a nation that is based, that is founded on the Judeo-Christian ethic. However, we all know that it's really, basically, fundamentally a Christian nation. I don't, as a Jew, I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. But to look at the history of this nation and the civil strife and the political and the civil discord that's going on now, especially in these economic times, with and post 9/11, it's very, very complicated. Where are the true statesmen? I don't care.
Well, now you're politicizing the question, and it's far beyond the scope of today's program. I think I would be remiss as a man who exists only because of my strong opinions and only because I'm willing to express strong opinions. Without strong opinions, there is no talk radio. Savage.